Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, guys? Welcome to a new installment of the Chris Williams podcast here from 712 Media. I wasn't planning on doing this today. First of all, if you like the podcast, we're going to have more of these in 2022, I promise. I'm so, I've been so overwhelmed with kids, which is a good thing, you know, right? We love them. And then work, and then sickness, and just everything. It's been hard. We're going to keep working. I have some stuff scheduled that'll be really good. So today, here's what happened here. I was doing an interview for Cyclone Fanatic with an urgent care doctor from the Iowa Clinic. The Iowa Clinic is a big sponsor of ours at Cyclone Fanatic, and as you well know, urgent care facilities have just been completely overwhelmed. Just the whole medical profession, it's been really, really rough. And I wanted to get some tips for our audience as far as what to do with kids and what to do with yourself. When do you go to the ER? When do you go to the urgent care? When do you seek out a COVID test? All that stuff, right? And I interviewed Dr. Goble is his name. He's an urgent care doctor down in West Des Moines, and I thought it was so good. Like I was so impressed with the information that he was able to give me on all these topics, and I was like, I'm going to throw it out here so the Cyclone Fanatic audience will get it, but I was like, I got a lot of listeners who don't care about the Cyclones, and this is really good stuff for anybody who, is frankly living in our society in 2022, right? I've been through the ringer with our family over the last 5-6 weeks or so. I got COVID for the second time. Didn't even know I had it. I'm triple vaxxed, so luckily I didn't have too many symptoms. I mean, I did. I didn't feel well, but it certainly wasn't like the first time. The first time I was really, really, really sick, and it lasted for quite a while. This time is not in the case. I feel better now than I have in months, frankly. So, not a concern or anything, but there's just so many uncertainties out there, and the kids' situation is incredibly difficult to navigate on a daily basis. So, yeah, this is an interview with an urgent care doctor. It's about 20 minutes. I think that it was informative to me, at least. I just got back from Jamaica. I actually think I'm going to do a travel review podcast of that coming up here in the next week. I'm going to start doing that. I love traveling. So I think I'm going to start doing like review podcasts of that here on the feed and interviewing more super interesting people that are coming up here on the Chris Williams podcast. So yeah, this is short. This was not meant to be a long form conversation. This was supposed to be a 5 to 10 minute interview, and I found what Dr. Goble was saying to be so interesting that it extended to 19 minutes. And I hope that you take something from this. I know that I certainly did. This is a quick interview with an urgent care doctor working in 2022. Boy, they're going to have some stories years from now. But this is Dr. Brandon Goble from the Iowa Clinic in West Des Moines. All right, guys, I teased this earlier on in the show. And I'm really excited. I think this is going to be really good information for our audience. We'll take a 5-10 minute break from Cyclone Talk here for really important information and a really good guy who I'm going to bring on, and hopefully he can help some of you and your families right now. I mean, I'm a young dad. I've got a 6-year-old and a 2-year-old, so I'm kind of going through all this at first, but it's so bizarre. Like, you just don't know. Your kid comes home with a sneeze, and you're like, oh, they got COVID. You know, and everybody, you turn on the TV, and it's everywhere. But I recently had my daughter in the hospital without COVID. It wasn't COVID that put her in there. And then I got COVID. Again, I'm triple vax, got it, didn't know I had it, wouldn't have known I had it had I not been traveling. And I think that Dr. Goble here from the Iowa Clinic, he is at the West Lakes location at the Iowa Clinic. Really good guy, really knowledgeable guy, and I want him to help us sift through some of this so maybe we can help some people out there who don't know what to do. So first of all, Dr. Goble, I know it's crazy in your world right now. Thank you so much for the time. How are you today, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing very well. Thank you for having us on.
Okay, real quick, before we get into some of these real world things in my life that hopefully other people can learn from. When do you go? So your kid's sick, right? We'll just play it like this. Anybody, you're sick. It's not something where 5 years ago you probably would have been freaking out to get to the doctor, but now we live in a different world. When do we go to urgent care? When do we go to an emergency room? When do we call our primary care physician? Because I think that the primary care physicians are so busy right now, right? Like in the urgent care, I feel so bad for the people working in the urgent care with the amount of waits. How would you advise families out there with that simple question?
And that is a wonderful question. We run into this truly every day, almost all day long. And the world that we live in right now has completely changed. I mean, as you alluded to, 5 years ago, people wouldn't come in for some of the concerns that they have now, COVID being the biggest one that we deal with of I'm sick, I don't feel well, or the common stuff stays common, common cold, common injuries, or something, God forbid, even worse. So we run into this situation quite a bit. What we in urgent care still kind of hold to our scale is if you have a relationship with your primary doc or nurse practitioner or physician assistant, to contact their team, first of all, if you have any questions, that's still standard at this point as your go-to. Granted, as you alluded to it also, as they are overwhelmed, this medical community as a whole just has a lot of questions, a lot of issues coming up to them, and they might not have time to be able to see you something of the sort. And that's really where we come into play in urgent care. Illnesses, urinary tract infections, mild, minor cuts, broken bones without major deformities. And any of these illness type things, questions about COVID, questions about respiratory status, I've got a cough, I have sinus pressure, headaches, those kind of things are kind of our standard go-to. At the Iowa Clinic, we have a little bit more resources available to us in terms of we can give IV fluids and we can do advanced blood work for abdominal pains. We have imaging available. So we can definitely work people up and give them at least a direction in terms of those kind of questions or concerns that they would have. I can't make the promise to anybody that through our workup process, we don't end up having to send you to the hospital, because there are times where we don't have the setup, the availability of either imaging or something of the sort to be able to completely finish the workup and diagnosis along with the plan. So there are times where we have to transfer people to the hospital for larger workups or more emergent concerns such as strokes, bad breaks, bad lacerations, heart attacks, those kind of things. So going back to what you said, it's a good first step in this whole process is just asking your primary doc if they could see you or if an urgent care is available. There's also times where the regular doctor is not available after hours or on weekends, and that's where really we come into play. We're always happy to see all comers. Again, there's always a chance, however, that we would have to send the more urgent or more acute things to the hospital.
Well, you guys have the great resource that I'm always pushing my listeners to at iowaclinic.com, where you can go and look at the urgent care wait times, which is huge when you have a, you know, a kid or a toddler, and you don't want to be in that lobby for a couple hours. And then you can, I've done this probably five times, and you get a text message, and it's like, head on over. And it's, that's a really, really great resource. So the situation I had, Doc, I've had a couple real world ones. My life has been filled with sickness for the last like 5-6 weeks. It seems like longer. Let me ask you this real quick. Because my daughter is a 2-year-old who goes to a daycare center, right? There's a lot of people out there in this world. Are they sicker than normal? Like, I swear, like, we all took off the masks in the spring or whatever because we got the vaccine. Like, I swear that she's sicker than normal. Like, it's every week. Or am I just imagining, like, or am I just being dramatic? Have you seen that?
You are not crazy. We see this all the time. I mean, if you just look at it, your body and all of us are typically used to just encountering viruses throughout the community, if not on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. And it constantly keeps your immune system just a little bit in check, just ready for whatever gets thrown at us. Not that any of us liked it last or the year and a half preceding all of this, but we in isolation and wearing masks and everything else, we just weren't exposed to a lot of stuff for a year and a half.
Okay.
So all of a sudden, when you get re-exposed to this stuff, your body that kind of got a little bit lazier, just kind of forgot that kind of stuff is out there, is not prepped for it, and it just hits you harder. So you're not crazy. We see this all the time. And as I've said, daycares and nurse, childcare, wonderful, but sometimes kids just have a tendency to pass this on to other kids, and kids do get sick a little more frequently there. It's not like they like to spread that kind of stuff. So you are not crazy. We are seeing the exact same thing.
So, okay, and that's where my daughter Elise comes into it. It was Christmas Day. My wife is a veterinarian, so she knows enough about all this medical stuff to be really dangerous, right? Oftentimes she knows too much, and it breeds anxiety and whatnot, but she picked up on it really well, and I'm very blessed that my daughter was starting to struggle to breathe about midday on Christmas Day, where her very deep, like, it, you know, where you could see her rib cage and all that stuff, and it had gotten to the point where that night where it was really, really scary. So we took her to the ER. They admitted they're really sightseeing, like, and it was getting really scary, and they kept her for a couple nights, whatever. Basically, we were told that she had tested positive for a rhinovirus, a type of coronavirus that's not COVID, and then some other virus. I'm not even sure. This would be more my wife would need to talk to you about it. But basically, we were given, like, well, her body's been so beat down because she's been sick for so long, and her body just needs a little help, a little boost, whatever. She was fine. 24 hours into it, you know, after having oxygen, all that stuff, she was basically just like a kid with a bad cold, and we're very blessed that we got the care that we did. Where I lead that to you is I'm positive that I had what she had, right? Because I was sick for like 2 weeks before that, and I couldn't get over whatever this thing was. I was working from home, and I was doing just fine. It wasn't anything that had me sleeping all day or anything like that. My question is, of all this stuff going around, because everybody's sick, right? And the urgent cares are full, and healthcare is overwhelmed. Medical, you know, hospital beds are full. How much of it's COVID, and how much of it's this other stuff? Because I was surprised. I thought my kid had COVID, but she didn't. It was some other deal.
That's a tough question. And again, coming back to what we get this every day. The Iowa Department of Public Health does actually put something on the internet that gives you kind of a breakdown of what's coming through, especially central Iowa, in terms of what viruses are out there, infectious diseases. And surprisingly, COVID doesn't always top that list of even the most common things. The regular cough and cold, something called human metapneumovirus, parainfluenza, respiratory syncytial virus, so RSV in kiddos. That's all floating around. And here's the tough part. And I think that you guys are unfortunately a perfect example of this, is they all mirror each other. It's not like you can walk into a room and say, well, right off the bat, I know this is COVID versus the common cold or everything else. They all have very similar presentations. And the tough part is, people with the same virus can react completely differently. So some people have a very mild cough and cold or barely any symptoms at all. And other people are really having a tough time, just like your daughter, struggling to breathe and everything else. So that's the tough part is just differentiating what it is. At the end of the day, we still say you're, no matter what this is, people are still sick. And whether it's COVID or something else, we still play by the rules after we give a diagnosis or try to at least exclude some things. Another common question we get is, what do we do? And a lot of it is viral supportive care, the fluids and the fever reducers if there's a high fever. And it goes down to the end of the day, is especially with kids, parents know their kid the absolute best. We can see a kid for 5 or 10 minutes. But we don't get the full picture. As a dad, 2 a.m. is different than 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. When I see the kids in my office. So anytime a parent says, I think my kid is not drinking, I'm worried about how they're acting, they're struggling to breathe, parents know their kids the best. And in those situations especially, what you guys did is 100% the right move, is to take them probably to the pediatric emergency department, where this is all they deal with every day long. Or all day long, every day. And I think you guys are spot on. So good work, and I'm glad your little one's doing better.
She's doing great. Now, let me tell you about my deal. So we were going to Jamaica. We had this trip planned for a while now, and you have to have the negative COVID test to go on a trip, where it turns out it's not a great idea to travel internationally during a worldwide pandemic. Learn the hard way. I had whatever this deal that had Elise in the hospital, and I hadn't felt well for a really long time, but so I was just kind of used to not feeling well. I had tested negative for COVID probably 4 or 5 times. So it really wasn't on my radar. I go off to the bowl game to cover the bowl game. I was feeling a little bit better. But I still had just weird symptoms, a little bit of a cough, but nothing bad. Like it just, whatever. I test positive for COVID out of nowhere prior to going to this trip because we had to do it. And by the way, here's another shout out to the Iowa Clinic. You guys do the asymptomatic. You got that little office building down in West Des Moines, which is great for people who are traveling and stuff like that. That was the resource that told me that I had tested positive. With this new variant, like, I don't know. I just feel like just off of my experience. So then real quick, Doc, we're down in Jamaica. We did get to go. We had to delay the trip a little bit, but once I had tested negative and all that stuff, we were able to get down there. And what I saw was spectacular, not in a good way, but they basically have like a COVID ward for COVID people down in Jamaica. And when we got there, I mean, I don't know, I'm estimating 5 or 6 people. When we left, I bet it was close to 50, and we were only there for 5 days. This thing was just running through this resort, and I was saying to my wife, I'm like, I don't know how this is sustainable for this resort to even stay open, because you have to have a negative COVID test to come back to the United States. It was really bizarre to watch this new variant spread. It's not really a question to you, but that was my observation. Like this thing is very mysterious, I guess, is where I would land.
It is. It's a very contagious variant of this COVID virus. And you speak about your experience in Jamaica. It's something that personally we deal with. Had dealt with. My brother lives in India. And he came back for the holidays, and through our rapid testing, just like you did, the PCR that comes back within a couple of days, he tested positive, and he was asymptomatic, and we are pretty sure that he had the Omicron variant. So he delayed his trip back to India, had some negative tests, and that's when international travel completely changed.
Wow.
And he sent pictures of those army-style barracks, and he said, once I get into India, if I test positive on the rapid machine, I am sitting in this whole, what looks like a gymnasium filled with beds and oxygen tanks. And he's like, that's where I am for 10 to 14 days. Man. If I test positive. So we played that tough game of let's make sure you don't have it before you get back and take every precaution you can on the flight. So I know what you're saying, man.
Yeah, it's just everybody. It's a weird deal where you're trying to be responsible and you're trying to do what's good to the public, and then you're still trying to live your life at the same time. And Doc, do you have anything else? I think this is phenomenal information. I really hope that our audience takes something from it. I know that they will. Would you give any further advice here before we hang up?
Yeah, like I said, this world is kind of a tricky thing to navigate right now. In terms of illness specifically, which seems to dominate everything, we are always there for you. The emergency departments, if it's something very serious, are always available 24/7. Best place to start with is your primary doc, and if you have concerns, we're always happy in urgent care to see them, see you guys. And going back to it, especially with parents, my overwhelming thing that I tell parents is you guys know your kids the best. So when something's not right to parents, it's not right, and they need to be seen. And if it's something serious, as you guys did an awesome job. Hopefully we as a society get through this darn thing. As you alluded to, we just all be safe, take precautions. We can't stop living our lives, but we have to have an idea of what's risky and what's not. And it's just not an easy world right now.
Well, Doc, I'm looking at your bio right now. I see you're a Creighton graduate. You a Creighton basketball fan before I let you go?
Oh, I don't know. Is that going to get me kicked off the station?
I'm a big Greg McDermott guy. He's a good buddy of mine. He spent a lot of time at Iowa State, and I've vacationed with him, and I absolutely love Coach McDermott. Creighton's like my second favorite team.
I love him. I have a lot of my friends from college still in the Omaha area. My parents are in the Omaha area. I'd love to be able to get down there and see him play more often.
Yeah.
I am old enough. I don't know you guys, the Iowans. You guys probably heard of Kyle Korver. He was my next door. He was my next door neighbor for 2 years in college.
Awesome.
So, Iowa State, and Creighton are near and dear to our hearts here in my household.
Yeah, I grew up on the western side of the state, and Creighton basketball is a huge deal. I mean, a lot of people in my hometown had season tickets during the Dana Altman era, and yeah, it's back when they were in the Missouri Valley. I love Creighton basketball, so good on you. But the Cyclones did beat you this year, so I have to rub it in a little bit.
They did, and quite frankly, my wife was trying to give me tickets for Christmas to take my old college roommate and my boys to, and I said, well, this is going to be a conundrum. Do I wear Iowa State? Do I wear Creighton? So we deferred and watched it on TV, and quite frankly, it was a win-win, because my wife is a big Iowa Stater, and her whole family is, so I have been adopted into that family. So, like I said, it was a win-win for me either way.
That's good. And that was an ugly basketball game, too, regardless of who won. That was an ugly, ugly game. But, no, we a big Creighton fan here. They are my second favorite team. Anywhere Coach McDermott goes, I'm going to be a fan. I love that man. So, thank you, Doc. We appreciate it. Thanks. And really, I mean, I've been at the Ankeny Urgent Care a bunch, and I just want to go up and give the receptionist a hug, honestly. Like, or buy her flowers or something. Like, you guys are working so hard right now, and it's very much appreciated. So be sure to tell your staff that there's people out there in your corner.
Well, we appreciate that. It's been a long 2 years, and those of us on the practitioner side, the docs, the nurse practitioners, PAs, we're not looking for any accolades, those kind of things. But as you said, our staff has been phenomenal through all this. So if you guys do have a chance and you have a good experience, even a thank you to the staff or something of the sort as a walkout, that just brings everybody's spirits up. So we appreciate those kind of things too.